You might like to turn in your Bible as we open the prayer meeting time to 1 Peter chapter 1. And in our study of looking to God to be who He is, and the Spirit of God's ministry is to make that possible. Otherwise, it is impossible for us. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, just to end reminding you that God the Father sent the Lord God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and He sanctified Him. He set Him apart. He put Him and in His perfect humanity, and made Him holy, holy, set apart, so that the Lord Jesus Christ, in His perfect humanity, could turn around and every minute of His life give Himself over to God the Father, that He might have outworked all the wonderful will of God. God sanctified the Lord. The Lord sanctified God. And He couldn't do that if He wasn't sanctified. He had to be in a place, like we said with Moses and all of it. It has to be holy ground to take off your shoes, as it were. Holy ground. You have to know God is there, and God makes it. And then since God's there, and you're there, then all of it works out. So here in 1 Peter chapter 1, reminding us, verse 2, if I may, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through, or by means of agency, through sanctification being set apart, the sanctification of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God sanctifies the believing heart. He sets him apart, sets he or she apart. God, the Spirit of God, does that based on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. He sets them apart. Now, and unto, in the direction of obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. So, in the light of being separated, sanctified, set apart for God, in the light of that, therefore, may peace and grace be found in your direction. It wouldn't be apart from that, but in that. And what are we to do to receive the peace and grace that God gives us? Now, in the light of that, over to chapter 1, and in verse 15, you would recall, verse 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, behavior. And the reason, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And when I am holy, then you, if you're going to connect to me, you must be holy. You must be holy. I set you apart so that you can be set apart to honor me, to honor me. In chapter 3, and you would remember, chapter 3 of 1 Peter, and in verse 15, and in verse 14, remember the little context, but verse 14, chapter 3, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled of all the reaction and misunderstanding and persecution and abuse and everything else. Don't get upset. What are we going to do? Verse 15. But don't get caught up in it, but sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We're going to sanctify the Lord God. How can you sanctify the Lord God in your heart if you aren't sanctified? If your heart isn't set apart, how can you turn around and sanctify God? You can't. It's because you're sanctified that you can sanctify. God sets you apart so that you can set him apart. Now, in saying that, and there's a way similar, at least to give you the idea of it. If you know you had a father and mother of some sort, and in doing so, and assuming all else being normal, your father and mother set you apart when you were born. They claimed you as their own. They didn't disown you, they claimed you. They claimed you as their own. So that now, as being their own, you could set yourself apart, and as a child, their child, you could claim them as your father and your mother. You could claim them as your own because they claimed you as their own. Now, over if you would, and remember now, in you aren't far away, over to First Hebrews, just again, no harm in doing it. Hebrews, if you would, chapter 10, just to say it so we and see it. Hebrews 10, picking up, please, in verse 10. Hebrews 10, 10, just the direct statement. I'll have to read a little, well, Hebrews 10, verse 10. By which will, God's will, we are sanctified, we are set apart, we are made holy, which is the word. Through, how so? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We're set apart, and the Spirit of God does that for us in a most wonderful way. And thus we are sanctified by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, for by one offering, our Lord's, he hath perfected, completed, brought to completion, forever, them that are sanctified, that have been sanctified, and they are sanctified. They're set apart. And therefore, they can do something. What can they do? Verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, the sacred place, the sanctified place, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So being set apart in Christ, by Christ, we can go right where he did, right where he came from. He made it possible for us to set apart ourselves so that we can draw near to God with a heart full of assurance by way of the blood of Christ. We can go into the holiest of all. We can walk on holy ground. We can go all the way there safely because we are sanctified. Now, again, if you would, over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4. And you will note, if I can, in chapter 4, verse 6, verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, verse 6, God hath sent forth, because you're a son, God made you. God set you apart. Remember the parents, you're their child. God set you apart. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a child of God. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So God sanctifies the believing heart, and the child of God, the Son of God, is set apart, and the Spirit of God is going to help them practice for them, for the believer, to practice being sanctified. Well, what do we do to be sanctified? The Spirit of God says, let me help you. So you understand you have a privilege because you are sanctified. and you exercise your freedom to set apart God because he set apart you. And thus, the Spirit of God is going to say, Abba, Father. He's going to teach us to speak to God in a very intimate, sanctified, holy, set-apart way. No one else can do that. No one else can do that. Legitimately, because they're sanctified. Now, in Romans 8, you know, Romans 8, Romans 8 and then verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, slavery, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Remember, adoption is the word to set apart a son, to place someone in the position as a son, as a child, adoption. Full, with full rights, instantly. Now, so the Spirit of God, verse 15, is going to go and give cry in our heart for Abba, Galatians 4, and so that we, being set apart, we can practice sanctifying the Lord God in our heart. We can go and sanctify ourselves. And thus we say, Abba, Father. We say it. Father. It's our right to say it. Why? I didn't get that. I didn't give it. He made it. He set me apart. He made us holy. So be holy as I am holy. Practice it. Therefore, practice being set apart, sanctified. Abba, Father. Out of it comes the believing heart. Practice, I am your child. I am your son. You are my father. Sanctified. Now, having said that, and thus we go, and you know all the wonderful statements of God, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, Philippians. Christ our life, when Christ our life shall appear, Colossians 3. And Christ is our life. He is our life. He is our life. He makes it possible so that we can have life. His life is our life. He sanctifies us. God sanctifies us in Christ. And everything that is in Christ becomes ours. Therefore, we practice being a child. We practice life. We practice love. How can you do it? Because God has set you apart in his Son. And his Son is going to give you the privilege of exercising life and love in a very practical, wonderful way. And we need to exercise that and do it with all of our heart. And God requires life and love, and we couldn't have it apart from him. God has to give you whatever you're going to give back to him. If God wants something out of you, he's going to have to give it to you, and by faith you claim it in Christ Jesus. And God has to give it to us. I don't have it. God has it. God has it. And so we look to God now. God, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sanctifies us and sets us apart. And in that wonderful place, we're able to exercise being set apart. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And we start exercising being holy. We start exercising our privilege, our right. We're a child of God. There are all kinds of people up and down the street, and only one would be your father necessarily, or your mother. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, and thus we have to be careful, very careful now, since it's God's love and God's life, that we try to do it in an earthly way. You have a heavenly life that has to be lived in a heavenly way. You can't earthly seek to have earthly wisdom, earthly understanding, earthly, all the things that we do, earthly as a human, without deity, without God. All we are is a human, a good one, a bad one, from a human point of view. Wouldn't make any difference. And we try to do it in an earthly way. And that's where we fail. We fail terribly. Now, in the light of our thinking, would you go over with me, please, to Jude? Jude, just before the book of Revelation, you know. And in Jude, verse 20, remember now, we're praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray without interruption. And the other half of this coin, you're praying. You're praying. Pray. That's our part. You say, Father, that's your part. My part. Father. We pray. We pray. We communicate. We lean upon and look to and rely upon God. And so we pray and open our mouth and open our heart and say, Abba, Father, which is prayer. Now, having done that, verse 20, we need to get the other side of the coin. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying by means of, in the sphere of, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. So we're praying, but then someone else is praying. We're praying, and then someone else is praying. That's right. God's praying. Praying by means of the Spirit of God. He's going to help us pray. Help us to pray. Now, how does God help us to pray? God helps us to pray in a wonderful, wonderful way. It's very rarely that we understand that. We open our mouth and give words and prayers, and which is all well and good, and we should. But in doing so, more than not, we're using our movement, and we're very confident, more or less, in our language to God. We have our prayers said, and people that repeat prayers, they do them, and they're very easy to do because they say them over and over again. Now, God, what is the difference, though? Well, when the Spirit of God, if you understand, he's going to help us to pray. Why does he need to help us to pray? Why does he need to do that? And why can't we just do it in an earthly way and forget the heavenly? Because it won't work. Won't work. Our prayer ends up being very earthly. It goes no higher than the ceiling. It is heard no more than the people that we say it in the presence of people. Now, in the light of that, over to Romans. Romans in chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, and we're looking to God, remember, in the light of Abba Father, verse 15, going to look to God and have a great hope, verse 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience, bearing up under the load, wait for it. We're waiting for that. We're waiting for the thing to happen. That's right. Now, as you're waiting for the outworking of any given thing, a given day, a given hour, a given minute, you go to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So the Spirit of God is going to go and help our infirmities, our weaknesses, and our infirm. Just think of a infirmary where you go if you're sick. Infirm, weakness, feeble, sickness. We don't have it. God, what are you going to do? The Spirit of God is going to help, come to our aid, come to our rescue, to help in our infirmities. Do we have them? Oh, we do. But we don't realize how much we do. We have a lot of confidence in things we think we know, but we have a problem because our heart is deceitful and tricky, and we lose out in it. But we don't understand. We assume a lot, we think a lot, we work out a lot, and often this way, horizontally, and not heavenly. And we try to think it through. How do people think? What do you think? What do I think? How does it work out? How do you think it should go? And then we try the system. From everything from food to doctors to lawyers to Indian chiefs. And we try that all, and we do it. And we're trusting God, but we're missing out on something. God wants us to, God wants to help us. And we miss being wonderfully, totally dependent on God. Dependent on God. Totally dependent. Our Lord, in his perfect humanity, was totally dependent on God. He said, without you, he said about God, I do nothing of myself. I only do that which is the will of the Father. Now, why would you do that? Because as a human, as a perfect human, you have a perfect ability to communicate and to relate, but God has to outwork his wonderful person. Hang on now. And so in the process of that, likewise, verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, the presence of God, is going to do a wonderful work in our heart. And he's going to make intercession, affirmity, knowing we know not what we should pray, I should say. We don't know what to pray. So you want to underline that in your mind. Verse 26, the reason he helps us is because we don't know how to handle our infirmities. And we use our infirmities, our weakness, our flesh. And we use it to think, to pray, to preach, to do whatever. We use it. That's normal. It's what everyone does. And you could do it from being president down to being a local grocery store owner. And you're going to practice your whatever. That's what you're going to do. And our infirmities, and we don't recognize our infirmities, and the Spirit of God does. He perfectly knows all about our infirmities. He knows that in us dwelleth no good thing. He knows the heart is deceitful above all things. He knows that all that we know, all that we think we know, is going to be put on the table to be discovered, hopefully by us, that we know nothing at all. And when we think we know something, we have to say we never knew it. Is that bad? No, that's very good. Because it makes you dependent on God. It makes you realize you have infirmity. When you get overconfident and not dependent, then it's you trying to trust, pray, and do. And you want understanding that you're praying and trusting. And it is the Spirit of God that makes it work. Watch. God makes it work. You don't make it work. God does. Watch it. Verse 26. Likewise also, the Spirit also helpeth, comes to our aid, assistance, helps our infirmities, our weakness, our feebleness. But we don't know, as we ought. We don't know as we ought, as we need to. We don't know as we need to. The word need, ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us to get to a person, to apply before somebody, to come before somebody and on behalf of another. The Spirit of God comes to God. Now he is God. That's right. The Spirit of God comes to God, and he intercedes. He brings what? You're full of infirmity, and we're trying to pray, we're trying to work out a daily, moment-by-moment existence, and the Spirit of God's ministry, knowing our weaknesses, knowing our failure, knowing our feebleness, knowing all the things that aren't even correct in our head, don't even have them right, God knows them. God knows all about our infirmities. So that we would learn to say, over in Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Romans 7, 18, dwelleth no good thing. For me to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't know how to do that. That's right. God knows perfectly that you don't know. You have to learn that you don't know. That's the trouble. Because we think we do know. And that's what louses us up. Because we end up trusting ourselves and we talk about it, but we really, really, really are not understanding God's wonderful ministry. that we should, verse 26, we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings, lament, with groanings which cannot be uttered. They're unspeakable. So God, could you speak to us about how you feel about what we're doing? Here we are in our natural body, praying, thinking, walking, going to work, home and school. Here we are. And we're trying to do that. And the Spirit of God knows that in our humanity dwelleth no good thing. He knows that apart from him, apart from his saving grace, God's saving grace, the heart is against God. It's an enemy of God. It opposes God. So God knows that. Isn't that hard if you knew all that? And you were helping someone. And you knew their whole nature was against you. Consistently, apart from God helping us, wouldn't that be hard? God knows that about us. We were saved, and by the grace of God, sanctified, set apart. God was setting apart the Lord, right? And the Spirit of God's ministry comes in, and he brings us as humans. He takes us in all of our infirmity and all of the things. Remember now, looking at your life, you have, here's your whole heart and life, as it were. And think of a big circle. Think of a big pie. And take a little splinter of the pie out. Cut a little piece out of the pie. And you cut a little piece out. And that's the part you as a person are conscious. That's the part of you that you know. All the rest of it is you. And you don't know. You don't know. You don't know that. You have no idea. You have this little bit of consciousness about yourself. And here's the whole big pie. Remember we said it, they said it about Einstein, whatever. You remember. Einstein used 2% of his brain. He had 98% hadn't used yet. Here's your whole being. And you don't even know that. Christ did what for that? He died. How much of that do you think is good? Your infirmities, God, do you know them? I don't know them. I come to God as if I was everything was going fine. But God, I've got to understand differently. That's right. God helpeth our infirmities with groanings, lamentation, sighing. God, you have to take us as we are, Spirit of God. And your assignment in the light of the saving work of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God's ministry, is to take your heart and my heart and bring it to God the Father. To bring it. We bring it. He brings it. So here's all our different prayer requests and all our needs. And the Spirit of God is perfectly bringing your whole being to God. Do you understand? And the blood of Jesus Christ is what? Cleansing you from all sin. And that's how you come. And you're learning to eat humble pie and understand. That's how you pray. You're trusting the Spirit of God. You're trusting looking for the Spirit of God to produce, to bring us before God. Now, over, if you would, hold your finger here, over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And you will know, please, Luke 11. And picking up, remember the subject is prayer. In verse 9, if I say unto you, ask, 11:9. And it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Every one that asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, findeth, him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If the Son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish? Will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, no, fathers, not normally. Well then, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you a gift? I'm going to give you a person. I gave you my son. I give you the Spirit of God. I give him to you. What do we need for prayer? Asking, seeking, knocking. What do we need? The Spirit of God. What are you going to offer to us, Lord? The Spirit of God. How are you going to do it? How are you ever going to pray? Asking, seeking, knocking. The Spirit of God's ministry is to make that happen. Make it happen for you. And you're looking to him for that, I trust. Now, having said that, chapter 8, and with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he, God the Father, that here searcheth, he searches out, is searching out, the heart, here's your heart. Now God knows, God, you have a wonderful plan and purpose for our life. We know that it is you that worketh in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We know that we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus. God, we know you have a wonderful purpose and a wonderful plan for our existence on planet Earth. Before the world ever began, you had the plan. So God, we want to get into that plan. God said, I know the plan. I also know how to work out the plan in the light of you, in the light of your infirmities, in the light of all the part of you that you don't know. So you're going to have to trust me and look to me to work it out, because you don't know how to pray. How do you pray? With the part you don't know, the part you do know, and put that together, how can you do it? And you could raise your hand and challenge anyone. Let's see you do it. Let's see the part of the tank that you know and the part you don't know and put that together all by your lonesome. You can't do that. No, God can. God can. Thus, in verse 27, he, God the Father, searches the hearts, and knows what? What is in the mind, not your mind, the Spirit of God's mind. Not what you think or what I think. God the Father knows what the Spirit of God thinks. The Spirit of God knows all about you. He knows the will of God and you. And his ministry is to make that work. That's his ministry, to make it come out. And we trust him. That's why we're dependent. We don't want to get too, God keeps us humble and dependent, so that we really don't get too confident ever in about anything. We say, you got to have self-confidence. Oh, I understand that from a human standpoint. No, I need to have a wonderful confidence that God gives. That's what we're looking at now. So God, what are we going to do? Well, God, you're going to go. God the Father is going to look. He already knows the heart. He looks for the Spirit of God to outwork the will of God in the heart, that God, the Spirit of God is already compensating. He's compensating for it. He's covering you. He's covering all your ignorance and stupidity. Not you, of course. But all the things you don't know. The Spirit of God's ministry is to do that for you. That's a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. So you understand how powerful are your prayers? How powerful is his prayer? And are you trusting it? Are you looking to God to do it? That's how it works. That's how it always works. But you'd never know it. We have prayer meeting, you raise your hand, and all of that's good. But if you don't get the end of it that belongs to God, it doesn't come out very good. Verse 27, he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows our infirmities. He comes to God in the light of our infirmities to outwork, verse 27, because he maketh intercession for us. He comes to God for that reason, God the Father, God the Spirit of God. He comes to God for the saints, according to, in line with the standard of God. God, what do you want? God wants His wonderful will outworked in our life. And God's wonderful ministry is to outwork that will. That's His job. That's His, if you may, His assignment. And God does that. And so we're looking to God. God. And here's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. We know that in us dwelleth no good thing. And we're looking to God, God the Spirit, to produce. Look at Romans 8, chapter 2. Romans 8, chapter 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, where is that? In Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to make it so I can say, Abba, Father. I can say something. I can believe it. I can exercise it. And the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God's ministry. So it isn't you or me conjuring up something for power. No, it's trusting God and understanding what He's doing and moving with Him. Moving with Him. Not grieving Him. Not quenching Him. Extinguishing. He makes it hot and you throw a bucket of water in His fire. Not that. Not that at all. In fact, while we're saying that, go over to Psalm 78. Hold your finger here. Israel's terrible failure. It didn't need to be, but it was. So it is with the church. Psalm 78, may I pick up a little bit of the thought, verse 39. But He remembered, God did, that they were what? Flesh. Flesh. God did want to have something good out of them. No, there was no way. No way. I looked at humanity and I could not find any good. I couldn't find it. So I provided the good by my Son. Now, Psalm 78, verse 39. For He remembered that we were flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they cause to make happen? They provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted, put God to the proof, and to top it off, they limited the Holy One of Israel. What God would have done, water, quail, birds, what God would have done. What God would have done. Here we are, Romans chapter 8 again. Here we are looking to God, and God doing a work in our heart, hopefully, to understand, God, You must do this. So the Spirit of God is going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And since He's going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood so that you and I would be forgiven and have be sanctified and set apart, then the Spirit of God is going to honor the what? The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us from all sin. Now here He is, He knows all about you. Inside 1,000% about you. And He brings you to God, knowing every dumb thing that we don't even know about in our heart. And He also exercises the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you from all sin so that He can come to God the Father and give the condition and the need of your heart to God as you are, not as you think you are, as you really are. And that's His ministry. Now, and to bring to the will of God as to our heart. So, God, here we are looking, and our realization, we're to have a wonderful realization of what? A wonderful realization of God's working. God's working within. God, Your work. Remember, You work out Your own salvation, Philippians 2:12, with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God, You're working within. That's right. God, You're working. I'm trusting You, God. Trusting You. Spirit of God, gonna pray. Praying in the Holy Ghost. God, You're gonna have to do this. I don't know how to pray for it. And we have that realization, and we have realization that we are totally dependent on God. And therefore, by faith, we come to God. And we're looking to God, totally dependent, so that in my weakness, we aren't trusting that. In all our ignorance, we aren't trusting that. We exercise good common sense as much as we know it, biblical sense. But always, always with the understanding that God, if you don't put this together, it isn't going to come out. You have all the pieces again. You have all the pieces. So God, you have to work it out. So we're looking to God to work out His wonderful will in a wonderful way in our life. And thus, we ought to be in that state of dependence, and not sure, never sure, but always sure of God. Never sure of ourselves, always sure of God. Don't trust yourself. That's what you want to grow in. Grow into where you don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. You trust God. And when you're trusting God, you're looking to God, God's going to come along and make it so that you're going to be healthy. Healthy. You're not going to be depressed, discouraged, disappointed. Nothing. You're going to be healthy. 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 Humble. Humble. Healthy. Humble. Healthy. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and you know, without turning there, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what do you want to know? You know what? That you are bought with a price. You're not your own. Your body has become, your body, right? You're looking at it. You can touch it. Your body has become the what? The temple. The temple, the set apart, the sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. It's His. He set you apart. He sanctified you. And you, in here, can now, as a child, Father! And you sanctify Him. You set Him apart. And you allow Him to outwork His wonderful will for your life in a most wonderful way. And God does so. God does so. And you remember our Lord elsewhere, He would say in Luke 19, etc., my house shall be called the house of what? Prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. It's my temple, my house, my prayer in your house. And you participate in the wonderful perfection of that relationship. It's totally imperfect, but in Christ, it's perfect. That's why, He that is pure, how can we be pure? Wonderfully so. So, because the blood of Christ is covering us, and we're counting on the Spirit of God to fill in all the pieces, and the Spirit of God is going to outwork the will of the Father in this life, isn't He? Watch. Pick up with me, please. Pick up with me, please. In, Proverbs chapter 3. We're looking to God, trusting God. And in Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to verse 5 directly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. Don't be trusting yourself. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Remember His wonderful person, presence, ministry. And He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It, verse 8, shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Marrow. Blood, blood, blood. The blood makes blood, 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 blood. And wonderfully, the blood that it makes has to come back through the bones to keep the bones alive. You see? The blood that it makes, the blood has to flow back to keep the bones, to make them live. It's a cycle, a wonderful thing. Wonderful. God, that's right. My blood, your life. And in fact, you can say it that way. And the blood of Jesus, as we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us. You can change the word blood to life. The life of the Lord Jesus cleanses us from all sin. His life. His life. Not mine. And therefore we can live it. How can we live it? How can we live an impossible life? It's his life that we live, that we enjoy, that we practice. Over, if you would, please. Oh, over on your way back. Over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. In the light of the rain, maybe. Isaiah 55. What do we know about you, God? Now, we say it 1,000 times, but you got to stop putting it together. Put the pieces together. Put the pieces together. You got them. Isaiah 55. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That answers that one. They are not the same. 4, how much are they not the same? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. I gave my word. The Spirit of God wants the will of the Father. The will of the Father is going to take place. And the Spirit of God is going to make it. Because he knows all about you inside out and upside down. And you're trusting him. And that's his ministry. So that you can now say, all things work what? The next verse. All things work together for good. Good. Not luck. Not chance. The body is whose? His. His. Do you understand that? There's no such thing as luck, accidents, mistakes. Mistake we make, but God covers them. God knows all about it. That's right. That's right. So we're looking to God. Looking to God. All things work together for good. No accidents. No chance. No luck. No. No, what are we doing, God? No, we're trying to work out. Trying to work out, to think out. We don't want to try. It isn't going to be our thinking, going to be our working, because God, your thoughts are higher than the heavens. So all I can do is trust you, God, to outwork what you know perfectly about me, about the world, and about what you want. I don't know those things. God, you do. That's right. And then you belong to me. Enjoy it. And learn to do it with all your heart. Don't cheat. Don't fudge, you know. Understand that, say, everyone else says, the world around you, the world you want of the world. God saved you out of the world. If you're saved, God gave you a wonderful privilege of belonging to him, being bought with a price. And therefore, we outwork that wonderful will. And thus, we have it in Philippians, you know. You have to turn there. He that hath begun, 1:6, hath begun what? A kind of a work, a good work. And what do you know? The good work started. A good work? Whose good work? God's good work. And what are we going to do? Don't worry. Be anxious for how much? Philippians 4:6. For what? Nothing. 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 Don't do it. But we have to. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's true. Everyone, your flesh will say it. The world will say it. Family will say it. Believers will say it. But pay attention to what God said. In nothing, be anxious at all. And the peace of God will what? Mount God in your heart. Wow. And to boot, now the rest, Philippians 4:19, it is God which were, God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ. God will supply it. The need. God, you know it. I don't know it. I don't know how to do it. God, you do. You do. You know perfectly how to do it. Wonderfully how to do it, God. And therefore, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to learn to do it. God, we can have prayer. We want to have powerful prayer. But God, we want to be a people that are a praying people. And we're looking to God. We're looking to you for your will and the outworking of it all. And thus we are. And by the way, I had a little thing I got in the mail when I got back. And it's a great little thing, actually. I saved it. You can't see it back there. I showed it to the workmen, I witnessed to them. And they said, "Is that you?" I said, "No, that's Winston Churchill." That's Winston Churchill holding the finger of victory. Remember, Blitzkrieg and London and disaster. But victory! Victory! Victory. Wonderful victory. You got it. You have to think like that. You say, well, it's contrary. Contrary to you, but not contrary to heaven. Not contrary to God. Not at all. And so I had a request. I'd say prayer, but just a request. Say it that way. The board was...